The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up, author Charlotte Gamble helps us understand that there is nothing that God can't turn around.
I think in all of our journeys, every single one of us, we have things where we want to see God turn something around, whether it's something personal or something in our community. And I just wanted to compel people to say, you know, don't sit down in the disappointment. Don't stop at the grief. Don't camp out at the loss. Don't stop where you feel you were rejected.
Discovering God's transforming power, next.
Such a great audience out here. I feel like we just ought to interview every one of them. But you know, we got someone here today to teach us how to speak proper English. And you know, when you come to be with a Texan and a couple of Texans and speak proper English to us, you know, it's just something like a beautiful foreign language. And I'm sure they think it's a really heavenly language. And we do have quite a communicator and just a wonderful person, Charlotte Gamble. She is a gift from God. And listen, she not only ministers there the truth of God all over Great Britain, but she comes here on a regular basis, goes to Australia. She's a good friend of a lot of our friends. And I wanted to tell you who she's been traveling with, who's quite a singer and quite a communicator. Would you welcome Charlotte Gamble to Life Today? Charlotte, we're glad to see you. This is the Turnaround God, Discovering God's Transformational Power. Now, I've talked about you being, you know, ministering the Word all the time and teaching and sharing and so forth. So what kind of a turnaround did you experience that would lead to this title? Or are you just watching everybody else that needs a turnaround?
Well, no, I've needed a few turnarounds. And I think, you know, the book came out of really an awareness for my own journey, but also as a pastor, so many people that I would pastor and sit with and talk to that really needed to see God turn something around, but actually had settled halfway through a turn. You know, it's so easy when you are praying and believing God, and sometimes you get that little breakthrough, but it's not the full breakthrough. Mm-hmm. It's not the miracle that you really believed for, but we so easily settle and we go, well, you know, that'll do. And we serve a God who's more than enough and yet settle for less than. And so I began to believe my own journey when I was told that I would never have children. Well, you know, God, maybe it'll happen. Maybe it won't happen. And I felt God say, you know, this is where you have to put into practice what you believe. Do you believe I'm a God that can turn around this situation? And I thought that God would answer my prayer and we would become pregnant within, you know, the next month, because like all good women, I had a plan and God needed to fit with my plan. But when he didn't, I just got frustrated and I actually got angry with God. I was like, you know, God, you need to come through for me now. I'm a good girl. Help me out. And I really began to realize that actually now was the journey of me actually putting into practice what I believed. Did I believe that actually God was going to come through, or did I have a time frame that I was asking God he had to fit into? And I discovered that God does suddenlies and God does slowlies. And for me, I went on a 5-year slowly journey. And God took me on a process in that journey of getting the eyes off me and actually the eyes onto the other people I would pick up on the journey. And I was reminded of that story of Lazarus, when Lazarus said to his friend Jesus, his family said, come, he's sick. And Jesus says, I'm coming. And then he waits. And then he dies. And you're like, that's not a very good friend.
He was late. Jesus, you're late.
But when you read that story, it's interesting what happens, because Jesus then decides, okay, now we're going to go to Lazarus. And he says to the disciples, and you're going to get new grounds for believing. So straight away, someone else is going to get a miracle on the way to Lazarus's miracle. And then he turns to Martha, who's been the control freak. That wouldn't be me. That's usually me, trying to tidy up for Jesus and do a good PR campaign. You know, Jesus didn't show up, but it's okay. And she'd organize the whole, you know, funeral and everything. And then Jesus looks at Martha and says, Martha, do you actually believe who I am and what I can do? And now she's challenged with her beliefs. And then he gets to the basket case, the emotional basket case Mary, who's just weeping all the time. And he says to her, hey, it's time to start weeping. And then he gets to where the Lazarus is buried. And I love this part. And he says to the whole crowd that have gathered, the ones that are the naysayers, the ones who said, you know, where's your, you know, Jesus now? And he says, on account of this crowd that have gathered, Lazarus, come forth. Mm. And all of a sudden, there's a miracle for Lazarus. But there's a long way around that's happened to the miracle. And the disciples, Martha, Mary, and the crowd all got a miracle too. Mm. And I think that's what sometimes happens with God. There's sometimes a suddenly, and there's sometimes a slowly. For 5 years, I met people in waiting rooms I would have never met that were waiting to see a doctor like I was. I met people that couldn't conceive that I would have never met and had a new empathy for them. I threw baby shower parties for every pregnant woman in our church because God told me, sow the seed that you want to see in your own life. I prayed for people that I would never have prayed for. And 5 years later, we had our baby and we called her Hope because we never gave up, but she came the long way around.
Isn't that beautiful? Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you. Is that the end of the baby story?
No, we had a second. Noah Brave. We had a son a few years later, and they're two amazing gifts from God, and they're two signs of God being able to turn anything around. You know, there's the scripture that says, sing, O barren woman, which is a turnaround action. When you're barren, you don't want to sing. But it's like scripture's telling us, do the thing that will turn your circumstance around. You can cry or you can find a song in the midst of your barrenness. And I think in all of our journeys, every single one of us, we have things where we want to see God turn something around, whether it's something personal or something in our community. And I just wanted to compel people to say, you know, don't sit down in the disappointment. Don't stop at the grief. Don't camp out at the loss. Don't stop where you feel you were rejected. Understand that God, it's like turning a car. Sometimes it takes one turn, sometimes it takes five or six maneuvers to turn that vehicle around. And, you know, in our communities, it's not going to be one act of kindness, it's going to be many that will turn people around. And so for me, the book became a way of writing that message of hope, but also challenging people. Maybe you've stopped too soon. Maybe you're not fully turned into the things and into the places that God wants to take you.
And God's way is the best way.
It is.
And if we try in our own way, try to get our own way, we may miss out on some of the greatest blessings God has in store for us.
Right. I
so
think
we need to be patient.
Absolutely.
And continue.
We're not very good at being patient, though, right?
No.
I'm not very good at that.
No, we usually want it yesterday.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I think it's interesting how you met the person that you've been ministering with over here. Tell everybody who it is you've been traveling with, who's a gifted musician, singer.
Well, she's a pretty good singer. my dearest friend, Natalie Grant, is who you're referring to. And I always say I must be extra work for heaven because God always has to really help me get the decision right, has to speak, interrupt my life on several occasions. How I met my husband is another great story. But how I met Natalie was 9 years ago. I was in a conference in California, and I was just in the middle of worship. And I just heard God speak to me in an audible voice and said the strangest thing. And he said to me, open your eyes, turn around. The girl at the back of the auditorium in the orange sweater and jeans is to do with your destiny. And it was so odd, and I was so not brave, that I nudged my mum, who was traveling with me, and went, Mum, turn around and tell me, is there someone at the back of the church with an orange sweater and jeans? And she said, yes, there is. How did you know? I went, don't ask. But she's to do with my future. I thought it was an usher on the church door. I had never heard of Natalie Grant. The pastor of the church asked me, would I get up and take the offering? And whilst I was up there, introduced the guest singer, to which I said, yes, but I don't know who she is. He said, just read this information out. And as I began to read it, the girl in the orange sweater and jeans began to walk forward. I began to cry. She began to cry. I remember embracing her going, I am so sorry. I don't normally do this. Because she then had to sing with tears down her face, and I just got off the stage. And we became fast friends. She actually was going through infertility. I'd just been through it, so our journeys were very similar. Several years later, many vacations together, becoming dearest friends, God spoke and said, excuse me, I did not go to all of that trouble just so you two could go on vacation together. You're supposed to dare to do something for me together in ministry, and that's how our Dare to Be event was born. So, yeah.
That is beautiful. So you've been traveling all over the world together, actually.
We just started, only just started doing Dare to Be last January in America and just did a set of dates, just gone. So
now, it's what do you call it? Say the title.
Dare to Be.
Dare to Be.
Mm-hmm.
Dare to Be.
Mm-hmm.
And if you, you know, what when you go, may I ask you this, mm-hmm. do you have a prayer concern for the nation we live in that we love? And the church here?
Well, I guess more than a prayer concern, I guess, I mean, I'm married to an American, so I understand. I'm bilingual.
Yeah, okay.
I speak both languages, you know. You did make up certain words like y'all, but I'll forgive you. But, you know, I think more an observation, maybe, I would say that I've noticed between the state of church in England and the state of church in America. I think in England, we have a very different problem. Our situation is that people don't know about God, don't care to know about God, and they certainly don't want to step foot in a church. It is anti-cultural. It's not something people do. My kids get bullied at school because they go to church. It's like a foreign concept, is church. So our problem, if you want to call it a problem, yet to me, it's a gift, because it's very clear who's not saved. So our mission field is very black and white for us. I think in America, what I've observed, not everywhere, but in some places, is that everybody says they're a Christian and everybody says they're a believer. But then some people that say they're a Christian or say they go to church are not necessarily being the church. And so we have a lot of religion and not necessarily relevance to people that want a gospel that's real in America. And I found that the two problems, you know, ours is that, you know, actually getting people to want to come into the church and know what the church is about. And in America, sometimes it's a case of actually getting people to get out of the church and make a difference in the world in which they're called to be. So I think our biggest love language in our church, because our church is known throughout our community as the place that's the light on the hill we get referred to, because our church is quite high up on a hill. But the thing that we've used to communicate the gospel is benevolence. It's the acts of kindness. It's going into the community. It's being Jesus. It's going to where people have a need and feel like at Christmas. We went into our communities and found out what's the greatest need. Greatest need was people were choosing between heating their home and feeding their families. And so we said, okay, let's go and let's pay for people's heating bills over Christmas. I think that's what we have to demonstrate back in the UK more than ever, is that actually we're not trying to sell a religion. We're not trying to tell you that we judge you. We're just trying to love you. And that's the most powerful language you can use anywhere.
And relationship is the thing that people have missed by substituting religion for
mm-hmm.
it
right.
and going through the pretense and the practice and the motions without really having the mm-hmm. relationship. Can't you tell that this girl's got a relationship with God that's real? I mean, it's vibrant. Your husband, now you say he's a U.S. citizen.
Is.
And,
he
and is he happy about
it? I could find no one in England to take me.
When you talk about difficult things, has there been any things facing him that have been difficult other than y'all having a child? Or what about places to live and where you go and all of that?
Yeah, I mean, how I met my husband was a miracle. I'll tell you that story. It's funny. I was 16, my husband's 8 years older than me, and when I was 16 in the church, my father was a pastor of the church we were in, and mother, and they were out of town, so like a good 16-year-old girl, this cute drummer called Steve Gamble came through town with a band, and I was like, my parents are away, so I'm just going to flirt all weekend, I'm just being honest. I just took the opportunity.
A little witness for
Jesus.
Yeah,
I was, and I found, you know, because I was the pastor's kid, I could get the schedule of where the band would be, so I showed up with every supper, every dinner. I was just there. I was like omnipresent all weekend. He paid me no attention whatsoever, none, until the Sunday when they were about to leave, and he said, excuse me, could I have a word? I'm like, finally, you're slow, but okay. So we sit down, and he says, I don't know who you are. He said, but I have a word from God for you. And I was like, for real? I just want your cell phone number, is what I'm thinking. I didn't say that, but that's what I was thinking. And so he said to me, God's told me to tell you to stop being a flirt. I did exactly what you just did. I drew a breath just like that. I was like, okay. And he said, and God told me to tell you he's going to use you to reach millions of people from an early age, and he cannot afford for you to have your heart broken because you're going to need your heart intact for the ministry he's called you to do.
Wow.
And God also told me to tell you he's going to bring you the right guy at the right time. And then he left town and never saw him again for 4 years. 4 years later, I went to America to do a summer camp with a church in St. Louis. At that time, Steve, I didn't know this, but he was playing for the St. Louis Symphony, and he was based in St. Louis. I went to a barbecue at the church, and who walks through the door but Steve Gamble? He has no idea it's me. I have every idea it's him. Girls remember those things. And then we ended up hanging out. We ended up at a meeting together. And then he said, do you want to go for coffee? I thought, yeah, I'll go for coffee. And over coffee, I said to him, you do know we've met before. And he said, no, we haven't. You must have made a mistake. And I'm like, oh, no, we have met before. And I said, do you remember being in England 4 years ago and telling a girl not to flirt? And he was... And he went bright red, put his head down, and I carried on. Yeah, you told her not to flirt. You told her that, you know, God was going to use her, and you told her that she had to wait for the right guy at the right time. He said nothing. And then he looked straight back up over his Starbucks coffee mug, and he said, well, it was a word from God, and I am the right man, and now's the right time.
Oh.
See, you love him already, right? You love him already.
I love your own story.
But you know the funniest bit is, and then I just, as a comeback line, I said to him, well, this is not going to work because I'm moving to university in England in 3 weeks' time. I'm leaving home, moving to go study. So I'm not into long-distance relationships. He goes, you're not going to believe this, but I'm moving to England in 3 weeks to go to Bible school. We both moved to the same town in the same week.
Is that great? That was. That is a turnaround God.
That's right.
The stories that you tell in here are marvelous, and you have just gotten a little foretaste. And if someone wanted to access the website where you're going to be speaking, where would they go?
If they want to know about Dare to Be, they'd go to Dare to Be Event, or they can just go to charlottegamble.com and they can find
Dare
out
to Be
Event
or
yeah.
Charlotte Gamble. I love you and appreciate you. Love
you.
Your spirit.
Thank you.
I thank God for Natalie. Everything we do, we're able to do because you pray, because you believe, and you receive the message, the testimonies, the hope, the guests that we present, the wonderful stories of the transforming power of God. And then our viewers, the beautiful thing is, they not only appreciate the guests and seem to like, I know they love Betty, they may, they may put up with me, but they love what we do, and they make it possible. And I want to thank you. I want to thank you for making this program possible, The Outreaches of Life, to think of the millions of people. I told you several years ago we quit counting at 20 million people who had said they've trusted Christ. That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
The millions of people that you've given fresh water to, that you have fed, the millions of children's lives that have been saved with the outreaches, the children's homes and life centers that have been built, all because of you. Let me show you something. This is something when we first shared it with you, we did not know if you would really watch. We were concerned you might look away, but you didn't. You looked through the eyes of Jesus and you became the arms of God for the most desperate and helpless people, perhaps on this earth. And you gave them hope. Listen to their heart cry, because you're the answer, and you are so often.
I know I once was a child. Some still say that I am. But what I remember of it has been smothered by the darkness I now know. Look at me, not past me. My life is not mine. I am owned, yet I'm disowned. My mind is shattered into 1,000 pieces, shattered 7 times, 8 times a day, at the hands of strangers. Over 2,500 times this year, at the hands of sick strangers. Please, someone, rescue me. Put me back together.
And by the grace of God, we have. And we will. Reach as far as we are enabled by you to reach, as many as we are enabled to reach. Yes, Betty and I care. And when we saw the plight on the mission field, we asked God almost 25 years ago, do you want us to stay here? Right in the midst of all this suffering and pain. And we were ready. And God spoke through the missionaries and said, please don't. Please go back so we can stay if you'll get them to help us. And I did not know if the viewers of the television ministry that we'd been a part of for many years, since 1968, and we had started doing the servant role to help others, I did not know if you would help with mission outreaches, and I certainly didn't know if you'd help with that one. But you have. And so when that girl says, help me, don't look past me, please rescue me, we're able to say yes.
Yes, we are. And first of all, thank you so much if you've been one of those that has joined with Life Outreach to make the difference in the lives of these precious children. As I was watching and listening to that precious young girl, I felt like she was saying, please, someone, make it stop. Make it stop. Someone care about me. Someone notice me in a way that will give me hope and strength and get me out of this situation that I'm in and I'm destined to stay in if someone doesn't reach out. So thank you for helping us if you've helped before. If this is a first time, God bless you. Please help us help these children.
And you know, we've been able to say because of you, we'll be able to make it stop. But we've been able to say something else because of Jesus and because of His love, we'll be able to make it start a new life. So we rescue, we reach out, we rescue them, and we restore them. We're teaching these girls, once we get them out, and we need to build a safe house right now in Cambodia, part of the expansion of the outreaches to many countries right now. Some of them, we can't tell even where they are, because it could lead to the termination of missionaries. Even in Thailand right now, we're not able to show the faces of the children anymore that have been rescued and they're in our homes. Matter of fact, they're cutting right now. You can see the kids singing. We used to be able to show you their faces. We can't now because sometimes people have hurt them just because they were rescued or headed off before the predator got them. So we're working in touchy situations. We need a safe house, $350,000. This is the last week. I've prayed, God, give us 350 people who'll give $1,000. Now, that would be the answer, but it may be that somebody gives several thousand. And then think about this. $128 is the average cost to rescue one of these girls. Some of our friends said we'll match that gift. If you'll help rescue one, we'll double it and make it two. Or if you give 64, we'll have enough. We'll have the 128. We have some gifts to send you this last week to say thank you for your help. We have the beautiful glass sculpture, the blessing, to send to those of you who'll help us build that safe house. Please, this last week, let's be an answer to that girl's heart cry. We'll make it stop. We'll add to it. We'll make a new start for you because of the love of God. Take your bank card. Please do it. Please move beyond just watching and take action. Be the hands of Jesus. Reach out. Make the gift. Use that card like a check or write a check to Life, but call us and say, I'm putting it in the mail. Would you do that? You can go online, and many people do now. Thank God for that. Go online, lifetoday.org, and you'll be able to make the gift there. Father, I thank you for every person moved by you, moving in obedience to share your love. Thank you for the viewers that see through your eyes and express your heart. in Jesus' name. Thank you for expressing the heart of God. Thank you for making it stop for girls like the one you heard. Thanks for making that gift.
Human trafficking. It's impossible to believe, but at this very moment, innocent children, many very young, are being sold and forced into sexual slavery and exploited in every way imaginable. And someone must save them. With your help today, we can reach, rescue, and restore their hope for a better future. And now, a miracle opportunity of a matching grant means your gift of $128 to help rescue a child will be matched to help rescue two children. Your $64 gift will be matched to help rescue one child from the horrors of human trafficking. This year, with your help, we also hope to build a safe house in Cambodia where young rescued girls can find safety, loving care, and direction for a new life. The cost of this safe house is $345,000. With your gift, please request My Daily Gift, a beautiful new devotional describing the great love of God who treasures you more than you can imagine. With your gift of $128, which today will help rescue two children, you'll receive the Side-by-Side Bible, which includes the easy-to-read New International Version and the Amplified Text with its additional words and insights. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000 to help establish the safe house in Cambodia. And you may request our 2014 commemorative glass sculpture, The Blessing. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
Well, Betty and I just say thank you. Thank you. If you'd like to have, and you know we have the other gifts that we're sending, we always want to say thank you and bless you. And I know none of you give to receive. You give to give, because that in itself is blessing. If you'd like to have Charlotte's book, after hearing her, and you realize she's writing like you're hearing her, and you're going to enjoy that. No telling who else you'll meet and hear a message from. We'll be glad to send it to you. You help us rescue those girls, and we'll gladly send it to you if you'd like to have it. Would you say thanks to Charlotte again for being such a blessing? Charlotte, you're a blessing. And I could understand perfect English. Perfectly,
well,
I understood.
Done you.
Thank you so much for letting us share this time, and thanks a lot for your help.
All sorts of relationships that are made whole.
Beth Moore, tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.